Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. This is the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? Well, we're giving you scriptural motivation and strategies so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King. King Jesus, yeah. That is. And hey, we've got a great episode planned today. I'm joined in the studio with my very good friend, Matt Fay.
Yo, yo.
How you doing, brother?
Good.
So good to have you on the podcast, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here. This is quite a setup.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you just, you have graced it, brother. Hey,
praise the Lord.
We're going to have fun today. Just excellent, excellent man of character, man of integrity, man of faith. And so I'm really excited to have a conversation and pull out some of the goodness.
Come on.
Some of that chocolatey goodness that's in you, bro.
Holy Spirit has a way of pulling out those golden nuggets when you get into conversation.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You know, this is some interesting times, you know, that we're in. And, you know, I heard somebody say this, that while these are unprecedented, they weren't unforeseen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a God. He said in Isaiah, he said, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, he is revealed absolutely every single detail, but yet, you know, we have had direction, we have had leading, we've had unction from the Holy Ghost in every endeavor.
Absolutely.
You know, while Abraham, even I'm thinking about this, but you know, Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, you know, that he followed the Lord by faith, paraphrasing, but he followed him to a land or to a place that he knew not where it was. Mm-hmm. And so God doesn't always disclose absolutely every detail of the plan, but yet he is faithful and he's just to lead us and to guide us. The Bible says his word is a light into our path.
Yeah.
You know, he's revelation to our steps. So every step, we should be able to follow him.
That's right. And if we knew every step, how much faith would it take, Justin? But he always...
There you go.
He always is faithful to show the next step.
That's right. Yeah.
But our flesh wants to see several after that to get comfortable.
Like the 1,000th step, right? Because we want to hedge our bets, right?
That's right. We want to be called to the last step on the stairway, but we're called to take the first step.
Yeah. Wow. You know, something interesting about the Lord, too, is, you know, he's the Lord of the beginning and the ending.
That's right.
He's the Alpha and the Omega. Of course, that's Greek, so that's he's the A and the Z, as we would know it. The Hebrew would say he's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the beginning and the end. And something that's unique about him is he's going all the way to the end, and he establishes the end, and then he comes back at the beginning and then begins to lead us.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, really.
So he's walked the path,
yeah,
and he knows it, and he's coming back, and he knows the way, and he takes us by the hand. And so we just have to follow his leading.
Well, wouldn't you feel more confident in somebody that had been across the path before, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, like we're in the Ozarks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually some really unique and amazing things to do here. You know, I'm just thinking just 30 minutes south of us around the Buffalo. I mean, there is like world-renowned rock climbing even.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, we have a mutual friend, Chad. I mean, he's got some amazing property out in that area. Yep. I mean, there's cabins, there's canoeing, there's all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, in these world-renowned rock climbing, there's probably a technical word here. I'm not in the sport. Is it spelunk? No, that's not spelunking. What's it called? I have no idea. Rappelling? I have no idea. But there's world-renowned paths. But yet, you know, somebody had to traverse them and chart the course and then come back and then say, hey, look, just follow this. It'll be amazing. You know, I kind of think about that. The Lord, he's already charted our future. He's already laid out our destination.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then he's come all the way back here and he's saying, look, just follow me. Mm-hmm. You know, we may go through some crazy times. We're going through some crazy times now.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was up to me, I might have orchestrated some different events this year, right? But God is faithful. And he's leading us, even if we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, we can have confidence and not be afraid.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to camp out there. He's leading us through.
Yeah. You know, Proverbs says that fire refines and shows up what's there. This has been that year. This year has refined. And that's okay if you weren't where you thought you were. That's okay, because all it takes is a flip of the switch to enter into faith.
Yeah. Matt, you are quite the man.
Praise the Lord.
You are an entrepreneur. You own your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an interesting... you know, I don't claim to have you completely figured out, but there's a very strong paradigm. There's a strong conviction that you weave and intertwine into everything you do. Your business, you're a realtor, mm-hmm. a very successful one, and it's FIG Realty,
mm-hmm.
but FIG is an acronym,
mm-hmm.
and it's Faith in God. Is that right?
That's right.
So you are an entrepreneur. You started a business, doing very well, and faith in God. I mean, that's your business name.
That's it. Because every time, you know, and it's amazing how many times people have asked these, because my last name is Fay. And some people say, well, what is FIG? I say, well, Mark 11:22 says have faith in God. And that's the glory and the honor that my company is growing. It's all the glory goes to Him.
Yeah.
I don't want my name on it.
Yeah.
It's all because of Him.
Right.
And that's what the Lord put on my heart to name it when we got started and from the beginning. And so just to be able, and that starts a conversation with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to tell them, say, you know, that's what my company is founded on is that's faith amazing. In God, because I don't want to come into work tomorrow and only roll on my ability.
Mm-hmm.
I want His grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He gives grace to the humble, and I want to every day when I say the name of my company, I want to be humbled that He led me to start this company, that He led me to name it this, and that it's Him, and then I can rest in that.
So you could have named it Fay Realty,
yes,
and nobody, you know, that wouldn't have been bad, but you kind of took a step further,
mm-hmm.
and what you just explained there, you wanted mm-hmm. it to ultimately in everything. Every time somebody says the name,
absolutely,
it's a reminder that it's okay to trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to acknowledge Him, which is getting increasingly tested right now too. Yeah.
Absolutely,
acknowledging Him.
Mm-hmm.
But faith in God. Now, as an entrepreneur, you know, because you know our podcast. We want to help people turn their city upside down.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we don't believe that the only way to do that is to be full-time ministry. Nothing wrong mm-hmm. with that. But there's a lot of ministry going on that's mm-hmm. not just pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, I think some of the popular phraseology of that is marketplace ministry, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. But you are taking the light of the gospel. You are literally a minister in what many would know as the marketplace. I mean, you are ministering. Okay. Just every time someone says the name of your business and the phone rings off the hook, hallelujah, selling homes, buying homes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you're ministering every time somebody calls out that name. Just quickly, you know, what? Tell us about the paradigm of being you're a strong minister. Tell us about that paradigm and working that into the business realm. Maybe some of the good stories, maybe some of the horror stories. I mean, how is that? What are some of the obstacles? Because you're very intentional. What has some of the obstacles been being that you've mashed up those very strong ideas?
Sure. Well, when we got started, there was a strong push to open up a brokerage of a company that already had an existing name and that already had foundation for, you know, there's lots of, you know, the mainstream real estate companies come to mind, Coldwell Banker, Century 21, things like that. So, and I kind of almost went that direction. And so, right before we started our brokerage, and so the Lord really ministered to me. It's like, no, I want to do something different with you. Not that there's anything wrong with going those different routes,
right.
But in seeking Him, you know, my favorite scriptures have always been Mark 11:22, 23, and 24.
Yeah.
Because that to me is how a Christian lives their life.
Mm-hmm.
They have faith in God. Mm-hmm. They speak to the mountain. They believe that it can be removed, and then they receive those things that they believe. Mm-hmm. And by receiving those things that they believe, they do enter into rest. Mm-hmm. Come on. And there's
that's,
a peace.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
There's a peace on that. That's how I want to live my life every day. And, you know, so many, and so we went that route. Mm-hmm. We said, well, that we're going to name it Fig Realty. And it's amazing in the beginning, Justin. It's not like we had, you know, I think that my first year in business, I sold, three houses and two of them were mine. They were flips, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, this year we're going on, 20, 30 times that.
Wow.
So,
praise the Lord.
And, but it's all by his grace.
Yeah.
It's all by his goodness.
Yeah.
And, man, you know, he's been so faithful every step of the way, because we mm-hmm. have endeavored to walk by faith and not because Justin in the business world. And you know, this, there's a business model and there's certain things that the world says you have to do to be successful.
Okay. Sure.
Right. So you start off, you dump a bunch of money into a website, you dump a bunch of money into advertising and all that's fine. That's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But God told me, I don't want you to be a website and I don't want you to advertise. I want you to see how I can do this.
Wow. Wow.
And he has, and to this day, I still don't have do either one.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's just faithful.
Yeah.
God can do it. Whatever it is that you have on your heart, you don't have to achieve a certain thing. God doesn't even have to use money, Justin. Mm. Those things that are in your vision, in your heart, in your life, God has a way of making those things happen. Mm-hmm. And he's done that for our business. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's done it. And you know, so many times when the deals get hard and we're helping people and they're tough, I say, now remember, the name of this company is Faith in God. So we're not going to stress over this. Mm-hmm. We're going to do what we know to do, and then we're going to stand. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be lazy, but we're going to do our due diligence, but we're going to remember where our help comes from.
Wow.
Because no matter what happens during that day, and this goes along with 2020, no matter what happens in this year, we should be able to abide in his rest. Mm-hmm. You know, because he is faithful. Mm-hmm. Man, he is so faithful. And so, man, that's just how we operate. That's how we operate. Wow. When it's up or down, doesn't matter because I don't, like James says, I don't go with every wave of the sea, Justin. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm living my life according to Mark 11:24, it says that I've believed those things. I receive those things that I believe. Mm-hmm. So if you're believing for a thing and you're striving and struggling with it, just go on ahead and receive it in your heart if you believe that God led you to do this thing and then see how he does it. Mm-hmm. You enter into a rest. That's the faith. Wow. The good fight of faith is not to fight your symptoms. It's not to fight your circumstances. The good fight of faith is to fight to enter into rest in that word.
Yeah. That is good. Hey, talk real quick about that kind of tension and that battle that you faced, if you call it a battle, but that period of time where you were like, hey, do I go business? Do I go ministry? Mm-hmm. And it's not that you're forsaking ministry. See, this is where a lot of people get off.
Yes.
But you navigated that. Can you speak to that?
I did. You know, when I got 11 years ago, when I was like, I give my life to Jesus, you mm-hmm. know, I won't go into the testimony, but you know, my life was in shambles. Mm-hmm. It had fallen apart. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Well, so many, when people experience that first love, mm-hmm. and they have an overwhelmingly just love for God, a lot of times it came through a pastor, right? It did for me. So what's the best way they feel like they can give back to the kingdom is if they become a pastor, right?
Man.
Or a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Okay, so they think, well, I've experienced this overwhelming love from someone that's a pastor or that's in that office, so that's what I want to be. But so many times we make those decisions because out of our love for God. And I always say this, Justin, it's out of a misguided, genuine heart. You mm-hmm. have a genuine love for God, so you want to give back to it. Mm-hmm. But the word doesn't say that we get to choose what we want to do with our life. It says, it says if I'm a son of God, one of the requirements of that is if I'm led by the Spirit of God. That's what it says in Romans. So, yeah.
You're not just a son if you're a fivefold or a full-time pastor. Let's say it like that.
Isn't that good? It says if I'm led by his Spirit, I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
So, I thought, man, I want to be a youth pastor, and that's what I'm gonna do. And in that endeavor, I just kept. I've always had, you know, a strong desire for real estate. Even going back to junior high, I was always looking at houses on the market, and God's like, that was grace back then. Mm. But you chose the field to go into because that's where you could make the most money. Mm. But this is deposits I've put in you since you were a child, and this is what I've called you to do.
Wow.
Is real estate.
Wow.
So and my wife was in nursing too, because we both chose to go those routes. Mm-hmm. And we both quit our jobs, and I started in real estate class.
Wow.
And we both went to college for those jobs.
Yeah.
And that was that period of navigating through that. I thought, and that's why the company is named Faith in God, because we moved 5 hours away from where we were at. We both quit our jobs, and we jumped in both feet to our church and volunteered full time while I was taking real estate classes. Mm-hmm. And God's been faithful.
Wow.
He has.
And everybody along the way was in total support and understood and was happy and in agreement with everything that you were doing.
Absolutely not. We were accused of being in a cult, you know, of, you know, we're part of the blab it and grab it bunch.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And which is interesting because, you know, in that case, you know, we had in the natural given up everything that we had worked for and moved to somewhere we didn't know to and follow this crazy journey of faith.
Right. Yeah.
And I wouldn't change it for nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, before, I mean, you had a very successful job. You had a very successful career opportunity ahead of you.
Yes.
And you kind of laid that down. Was that, you know, there's a hopeful expectancy. And so in that sense, it's easy. But speak just a little bit about having such a massive career shift. Yeah, you were hopeful, but you had to endure even in the midst of that transition. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, my grandpa was a welder. My great grandpa was a welder. My dad's a welder. My brother's a welder. And I grew up welding. And so, you know, Justin, I never really even, I wasn't serving the Lord as a teenager and as a young adult. So I just went into welding. And I think that, you know, so many occupations and careers, even with believers, would just kind of happen by it being there, you know. And so there was a you know, kind of a little bit of pressure, not from anyone in particular, but just to carry on the family heritage of being a welder, you know.
Yeah.
And it was comfortable, and it would always been there, and had a great position in the company. And so, you know, honestly, man, it was difficult. I felt like I was betraying my family a little bit to turn my back on them and to pursue with no inventory and no guaranteed sales. And not only that, but to pay to go to school to get my real estate license. So, and that was, man, and during that time, though, Justin, we learned to live by faith. We didn't, there were times we didn't have groceries and people would show up with groceries. There were times that, oh man, that, you know, that we had bills due and when God would bring in a sale. And man, we rejoice in those times, you know, just as much peace then as now, because we had this overwhelming love for God and to follow what, after I started learning about how to be led by the Spirit and that's really where it's at. I thought, okay, well, the best way I can serve God is to do what He tells me to do, and that was to go into business.
Wow, I love that. You know, our journey is similar. You know, we had opportunities, but you know, we had to follow the leading of the Lord. And the beginning days were, you know, a challenge at times. And I heard Bill Winston say this once. He said, you don't start small because you are small. You start small because that's where everybody starts. And sometimes those beginning days have been a challenge, you know, as we were endeavoring to live by faith and the Lord's, you know, stretching us, we were developing, we were growing. And really at the end of the day, all those trials or tests or whatever, it was all about developing the trust in Him that He's going to come through no matter what. Matt, you probably know this based on your experience, but somebody said this once too, and I just chuckle whenever I think about it because it's so true. But you know, the edge of a miracle and the edge of disaster feel like the exact same place, right? I mean, it's all
they do.
I mean, if God doesn't come through, you know, you're like, God, if you're not faithful to your word, then this is over. Because I mean, we're out here.
That's it. And you know, your spirit gets saved, but your emotions don't.
Right.
But you know what's beautiful
right?
about
Isn't that?
That
true, folks?
You know what's beautiful about that is you don't have to listen to your emotions.
Yeah.
You don't have to because they'll steer you wrong.
Right.
You know, you can go into a movie theater, well, you used to could, and watch a movie that has nothing to do about God and come out crying and bawling, but that doesn't mean it was a spiritual experience.
Right, because you were emotionally moved.
Right.
Yeah, naturally moved.
And so, you know, in the natural, you know, in those times and starting an endeavor, starting a business, or if you say, you know what, man, if to listen to this, there's this thing that God's been calling me to do, and this pushed me over the edge, and I'm going to do that. Well, just keep in mind, you don't have to listen to your emotions. As a matter of fact, that's the very essence of faith.
Hmm.
Is that you put the word that he gave you in your heart over that.
Right, right. We're moved by what we believe, yep, not by what we see in the natural.
That's right.
2 Corinthians, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated at people like you, Matt, and praise God that there's a remnant of people like you. I mean, it'd be awesome, if you were the only one. But there are like Elijah. There's 7,000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But and the reason why I say that is because at times we feel like we're the only ones doing it the way we're doing mm-hmm. it, you know. And
yeah, the enemy wants everyone to believe that.
Yeah, like, man, look at you. You're the only one trying to operate your business life.
Yeah, nobody else is going through this. Yeah, so that's what the enemy wants
to
tell you.
So just get back on the right track, which is a lie.
You got a job here waiting on you with money. What are you doing? Right.
Oh man.
Because a good man will be providing for his family. And,
right. Oh.
Because we only see, if you look at a ladder, we only see the bottom step, but God sees, he sees further up.
Yeah.
He sees further up. And so, and there's, you know, pressure from people so many times. You know, if a man, I have several friends that have kind of have similar stories. And when they quit their jobs, you know, their wives, you know, parents, whatever, was like, no, you got to go back to work. You got to provide for my daughter.
The outlaws are acting up. So, we love our in-laws. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But there is pressure from people if you're not going according to the world system. Mm-hmm. We can't help. We don't realize how much we've been indoctrinated into worldly things. Justin.
Oh, man.
I've always said this. If you took somebody from 100 years ago and placed them in today, they go, look at this sin. How did you get up and start operating today? I mean, we've been conditioned to it over time. So my one of my prayers is, God, let me see things the way you see them. I want to see things in a different way. I want to see everything and going about. And so that takes all the business models out of it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That takes, you know, even in raising our children and the way we operate our home, I want to do things to please the Father, because I want to stand before him one day and him say, man, I'm pleased, good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you to do.
Mm. You know, that's without faith, it is impossible to please him. I was curious. I was looking up that word please, and the root word that is taken from there means to agree. You know, without faith, you can't agree.
Mm.
You know, and that's what the Lord's wanting to do. He's revealing our future to us.
Yeah.
And he's wanting us to agree with him.
Yeah. That's good.
Not power. Disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
Receive from him. You know, when he gives his word, faith cometh by hearing. And so when the word reveals itself to us, and that's what he's trying to do. He's not intentionally hiding from us. This is what I always say. Bible mysteries, they are hidden things, but they're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. And the intended trajectory here is that he's bringing us into the time or the moment or the opportunity of revelation. And so everything that he's pre-planned, those are hidden things. We don't know anything about it until he reveals it to us. But that's his intention, is he wants to reveal it to us. And when the word reveals a thing, faith is embedded in it, if we could say it like this, because faith cometh by hearing.
That's right.
And so when he speaks to us about a thing, let's just use this as an example, since we're talking about kind of what you did. You have stepped out here. You have done the very hard work of starting a business, a privately owned business, okay, and did phenomenal, and you're doing well. But when the Lord began to minister that to you, in the fellowship with the Word, when you were fellowshipping with him and with the Word, okay, and the Holy Spirit was ministering things to you, prompting you, guiding you, telling you things. You know, John chapter 4 says that's what the Holy Spirit does. He tells us things, things to come. And so the Holy Spirit is revealing to you things about your future, about your destiny, reminding you about things from your past, about, hey, that was the grace that I was working in you.
Yeah.
Well, when that word begins to reveal these things, faith is in it. So faith is coming. Well, what is faith? I like what Hebrew says, Jesus, we look to Jesus, who is the Word, the author, or I like to say this, the authorizer. And so when you were getting revelation, when you were getting download, it seemed like maybe it was a million miles ahead. You know, Lord said, start a business, you know, and I mean, what do you do? with that. You know, when the Lord says, do this, do that, start this, go here, set that meeting up, establish this work, do this, buy that, invest here, sell this, sow that. Well, it seems like how, but when the word is ministered to us, there's an authorization to do exactly what is being revealed to us. He is authorizing that word to come to pass. That's what faith is. Faith is the authorization.
Yeah.
He's the author, the authorizer, and the finisher of our faith. And the natural doesn't always understand that. I wanted to kind of touch base on this, and we'll see where we go from here. But in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I like this here. I mean, and this is the tension that we are facing every day. And Matt, you alluded to this. You know, you could come back down to the natural and just follow business models. Mm-hmm. We're not saying they're bad, but you could maybe go the easy route in this sense, is just do what other people have done, read a book, and just do exactly what the book says, whatever. But there is spiritual wisdom and insight that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says has the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart yet. Things that God has planned for us. Mm-hmm. Okay, you said the Lord said, I don't want you to advertise, and I don't want you to do a website. And maybe that will change at some point, but that's the word for now. Right. Okay, and you're acting on that word. You're being faithful with the word. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're walking in the light that has been given to you.
Sure.
Do it this way. But yet God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. But then it goes here. But the natural man does not receive these things. Mm-hmm. The natural part of us, which would be the flesh and its desires, it would be the mind, the will, the emotions, these things that haven't been born again. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now your spirit's born again, but we still live in this body. It's a tent. Paul said it's a tent. We're sukkoting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. and so we are tabernacling here on the earth, but we're not a body. We are spirit, but we have a body. It's our tent, but it has things that it likes. There's desires, things that feel good to the flesh that we have to battle against. Paul said you have to discipline that. Okay, and then we have a mind, we have a will, which includes our mind, our brain, has all of our memories, like a lot of stuff I still remember from pre-save days, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Things that I have to, thoughts, ideas, suggestions that the enemy wants to try and work me over as well, but things that I have experienced, things I've seen, saw, heard, touched, whatever. And so, you know, I have that. In Romans 7, Paul called that the law of the mind, right? Mm-hmm. But so there's a natural part of us. Here it says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him or to it. And I looked up the word foolish, and the basic generic definition is it doesn't have the mind for it. Now, your spirit has the mind for it, though.
Mm.
Your spirit has the mind for it, but you are working in a field where it seems like the vast majority of people, and this would include a lot of believers as well, instead of going the spiritual route, endeavoring to receive direction by the Spirit, endeavoring to buy a thing or sell a thing based on unction, endeavoring to maneuver your business and your employees, okay, endeavoring to move forward independent on just what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, or Proverbs says even seems like in the natural realm. I mean, the tension of walking by faith is faith, the things of the Spirit are nonsensical to the natural realm. The natural part of us does not sense, in the sense of you can't touch a spiritual thing yet, especially if it hasn't taken on substance. You can't smell a spiritual thing yet, unless it's taken on substance. You can't see a spiritual reality unless or until it takes on substance. But yet the spirit of a man has to receive it first by faith. Once you receive it by faith, the Bible tells us then faith is the substance to that thing.
Yeah.
Just jump in here at any time. But you are endeavoring. I mean, this is what fascinates me. Because you are in a world. Okay, you're in an environment where spiritual application, for the most part, I mean, there are a lot of people like you, okay, but spiritual application and maneuvering business is a far-fetched idea.
Yeah, it is. And looking back on, kind of backtracking a little bit, when God was having to set it up, and I almost went with one of those companies and just attached my name to it. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm making my business signs. You know, we're going and I'm making a big order of signs, and right on our sign, I put Mark 11:22 right on the sign.
Love it.
I love it. Right before we did that, I had several believers that said, you know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put scripture on your sign because you're mixing that and business, and that's going to open you up for things that you don't want. So I went ahead and put the scripture on all my signs.
Right.
And at that moment, Justin,
wow, brother,
I remembered what God had me do years before. He said, and here's the thing, I believe that God wants believers to own their own business so they can say and decide what goes on. Under someone else's franchise, because even if you are a franchise, you buy into that franchise, they have say what goes on your sign. They have say what goes on in your business. But if believers would open their own businesses and start from scratch and have faith in God, the ones that he leads to, not everybody's led to do that. But the ones he does, God can bless them. And these would be churches. These would be churches. Mm-hmm. Our business is a church. Everyone that comes in there, we're going to do what God leads us to do in there. We're his hands and feet. Revival happens, in all the walls, not just the church walls.
Exactly. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there was a study done, and there was, I don't remember the exact percentage, but there was a much higher percentage for kids that were raised in homes of millionaires to become millionaires. Mm. And, you know, when I read that, I thought, so they learn to think like it by how? By spending time with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We learn to think like the Father by spending time with him.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't all, and that means sometimes you're going to go against the grain. You're going to go against what the business models are. And like I said, we keep talking about that. But the thing is, that's okay if you follow those. Don't have your trust in them. Don't have your faith in them.
Yeah.
If you're not sensitive for God to change your plans at any minute, you've put your faith in your plans.
So, Matt, are we telling the audience here that it's okay to trust God?
Absolutely.
He's even faithful. In business?
He's faithful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially in business.
Yeah.
Especially in business. Because, you know, the thing that's taken off, those, you know, you see a few months later, those tanking and going out, but the consistency of just sticking with God, of just staying with him, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the circumstances, up, down, doesn't matter. There is a peace in that. That's a life that you want to live. That's a life that is so good. Because, you know, Justin, if we don't always want what we think we want. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of times I'll be like, God, I think I'm going to do this. He's like, no, you're going to do this. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's what I want to do. So we're movable.
I love that.
We're not, in 11th grade, I remember filling out paperwork, deciding what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And that's the way it is in high schools now.
Yeah.
You know, they go, okay, you go ahead and choose.
Because, you know, 11th grade, you had such an optimal point of perspective.
You've got it all figured out. Yeah. So, but that is when you know, or 10th grade, actually, when you start taking classes that lead to college and these things. And so, man, I would encourage, you know, young people, like, ask God what he wants you to do with your life.
Yeah.
What does God want you to do with your life? Save that season of having to go back and start over. You know, no condemnation on this, but you see so many people changing their majors 8-9 times.
Oh, yeah.
And going back and spending. And they look, they've spent 10 years and they haven't moved forward in anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, the trajectory of some of them liberal arts degrees. You might want to check in on that.
Dave Ramsey would say you don't get a degree in left-handed puppetry, you know. But
Not sure. Unless the Lord leads, right? You know, Matt, you know, I know we've kind of centered a little bit on the fact that, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner. I mean, you started something from scratch. And the point of the podcast wasn't to talk about your business, but to get across to people that – You are living your life because you have a relationship with the Word.
Yeah.
You know, one of my motto scriptures, I guess, is the just shall live by faith. And I remember my wife and I saying, we want to do that. We didn't, yeah. we didn't really know what that was.
Right.
But I mean, that just lit up in us. And of course, that's referenced several times in the New Testament. It was taken from the Old Testament passage, but we said, we want to live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've discovered and continually to grow in that is what we're living with the relationship with the Word. You know, if you want to live by faith, well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. Yeah. And so you have to have a relationship with the Word, an intimate relationship of fellowship there with the Heavenly Father, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But, you know, we're not just talking about the fact that you're just a business owner and an entrepreneur, but we want to get across to the people that you have risked it all. I mean, you're a pioneer, definitely. But you have placed all your trust, all your hope, all your confidence in the relationship you have with Jesus.
Yes.
The leading of the Word. But you've put that, or you've taken that and you've followed the Lord as you're applying that in the business realm. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could apply to anybody, whether or not they're a business owner or whatever they're doing. Sure. Whatever they're doing, these are the principles, though.
Yeah,
the very basic elements.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, you know, the Lord definitely called you. Now, I think people, let's touch on this really quick here, because I that thought was such a great thought is, you know, when people got saved like you, I mean, you had a crazy, you know, upbringing, and then you came to Christ, your eyes were open, whatever, and you wanted to do what Romans said. You know, you wanted to be a living sacrifice, but immediately, and not a bad thing, but immediately maybe you just assume, well, that's a full-time ministry route or whatever. And I think a lot of people are right there, but not everybody's called. Surely some are called, but not everybody's called. Yeah. But there are vast, empty places. There are people who are AWOL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you said it, How did you say it? I mean, they are ignorantly.
Oh, genuinely misguided.
Yeah, They. I mean, they're genuine, precious, but they're AWOL because in their response to what God did for them, they. Well, I'm thinking of the guy that the Legion was cast out of. In his response of gratitude and thankfulness, he wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus said, no, you're not going to follow me. I don't want you to stay here. Mm-hmm. I want you to go back into the towns.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people, you genuinely, you've had a life-changing experience. And so you want to repay that, or you want to return the gratitude by serving that pastor that was a blessing, or serving that church that was a blessing to you, or, you know, endeavoring to follow or imitate or copy after the people that impacted your life. Not, I mean, what an amazing sentiment. But what if the Lord truly is calling you in another area and you're going to have to take the step of faith? You're going to have to endure maybe the loss of social esteem for a time from ignorant people, okay, as you are navigating change. Mm-hmm. They may not understand everything, but really press down, Lord, what are you calling me to do? And allow him to give you an alternative thought.
Yeah. You know, during that season, Justin, I remember having this thought specifically. I remember thinking, well, it's just so weird that I would listen to services while I was welding. You know, I was working 12-hour shifts, and I would listen to my services from my pastor nonstop. And I got back to the motel room, I would read my Bible, and I thought, well, this must mean.
Yeah.
This is weird. No one does this. This must mean that I'm called to be a pastor.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Surely. That's got to be what this means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I, at that point, man, when I give my life to Christ, pastors are my superstars. I mean, Jesus is.
Yeah,
I looked at people, I mean, like early on in my life, and you were, you know, you were one of them when we moved up here, and I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
But man, you and other pastors are my heroes, bro. So I thought, well, what better, could I repay what God has done me than to help someone else to experience that same love.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so cool about that, Justin, is we have got to do that, except from business realm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And your pastor, tremendous. I mean, what a gift, what a treasure you are to them. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, the Lord had a plan for you. And in this sense... Right. It's a loss to not have somebody like you, full time. but what a gain to the body as a whole, because of the difference and the walk of faith and the assignment. And yet there are things that are connected with your business that we've not even walked into yet. Things that the future hold as God continues to uncover and reveal that which is in the plan. And, you know, let's shift gears a little bit here with that, because, you know, in what's going on, Matt, in the nation right now, I believe that there's going to be an awakening. I mean, it looks absolutely crazy out here right now. It is December the 17th, 2020. And, you know, if you're listening to this in the archives, we have a contested election. Okay. And so there's some crazy things going on.
Interesting time to be alive.
It is, dude. It is so interesting. But I believe the Lord's going to do something significant. And I connect it to, Haggai, the prophetic parallel in Haggai. And there's some similar things going on now. But the point that I want to get to there in chapter one is that he began to move on a couple groups of people. He moved on the governor, he moved on the high priest, and he moved on the spirit of the remnant of the people. And the word that is used there in the New King James is the word stirred, and it's the Hebrew word for awakening. And but these people began to work together very interestingly. And then we even fast forward to Isaiah, where we find out, well, there's an anointing that came on us to build and to rebuild. Well, if you put everything in connection, here was this people, some of their freedoms, well, all their freedoms were taken hostage, okay? And then there was a figure that the Lord used significantly to help the Israeli people, the Hebrew people, get over to a place of freedom. And they were to begin to rebuild their nation in honor to the Lord. Well, Haggai shows up on the scene 18 years later because they haven't done. They hadn't started it yet. And that's when the Lord, through the prophet Haggai, says, look, I'm going to move on you. I'm going to move on you with an awakening. Okay, there, the governor is going to be awakened. The high priest is going to be awakened. I'm going to stir them. The spirit of the remnant of the people, I'm going to stir them. And they're going to work together, and specifically, they're going to work together to rebuild the temple, okay, was number one, because they were doing their own stuff. And Haggai said, hey, look, is it time to build your own house yet while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? And so he was speaking to, look, you have your freedom. And the intention of regaining your freedom was to rebuild the nation in honor to the Lord. Of course, the centerpiece of that was the temple in those days. But they weren't doing it. But there was going to be an awakening. I believe, Matt, that there is going to be an awakening. We're going to see different groups of people work together. We're going to see a total awakening in the political sphere, in the political realm. You know, there's a shaking going on now.
Yeah.
There's a sifting. And I think good people, the Spirit of the Lord is going to move on them. We're going to see the church rise to the occasion in ways the church has not rise to the occasion. Now, there's a lot of great churches. I pastor a church. I believe that our church is one of those good churches. But I mean, there's a lot of churches who have totally abdicated, okay? They won't touch anything with a 10-foot pole. I mean, they are they are non-existent. They are not influencing culture in any way whatsoever. But there are a lot of churches that are endeavoring to be a light. They're endeavoring to be salt. Salt is a preserving element. And he said, you are salt. In fact, we find out later, Matt, that the church, the body, is part of the restraint, part of the restrainer, right? The person of the restrainer is Holy Ghost, but the body of that restraint is you and me, you know? And so if we're abdicating, well, that's not good, okay? So these three different groups of people, and there's an anointing. There's an anointing on us to build and to rebuild. The question is, what are we to build? What are we to rebuild? Isaiah 61 talks about establishing the waste places, okay? Rebuilding the old ruins, the ancient ruins. Well, what is that speaking to? Another place in the Bible talks about don't touch the markers, right? Don't move the markers, the ancient markers. Leave the markers in place. Well, we see right now a lot of these principles of our nation, the founding principles, the birthright even, covenant to God, covenant to be a beacon of hope. People are trying to move these markers. All right, so let me get this shifted here where, Matt, you can speak to this, because we were talking about this before the podcast. And correct me if I'm wrong, okay? You're not just in business for the 2.5 kids, white picket fence, you know, you know, that picturesque home on the hill. You guys have a beautiful place, and you have three children. Okay, but we were talking about this. So I'm gonna set this up. I'm gonna be kind of an antagonist here, but you know, you in particular, but me, anybody, we're not just supposed to be in business. We're not just supposed to be earning just so we could have the quote American dream, as that American dream has been revealed to us about things. But there's an anointing on us to rebuild. That's why I was referencing Isaiah. That's why I was referencing Haggai. And this awakening in this stirring, the Lord's saying, I'm going to add my super to your natural. There's going to be a stirring. There's going to be a supernatural assistance here. There's going to be an anointing for something specific. But it's not just to rebuild the American dream just so we can all get white picket fences, this house, get these cars, get toys, nothing wrong with all this, 2.5 kids. But Matt, jump in here and address what we were saying. What is the American dream? What is those ancient markers that are trying to be tested? What are we, under the anointing, supposed to really be rebuilding?
Absolutely, absolutely. And before I jump into that, I want to address, I want to speak this out while it's still in my heart, but I believe that the Lord is searching to and fro. If we go back to the King James a little bit there, you know, a little fro.
Yeah, King Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, the one. I believe that he's searching for people that would run for public office the same way that we did our business.
I believe that. Wow.
And so I just wanted to throw that out there before I moved on. But
me didn't know Matt was a business owner and a prophet. Hallelujah. No, that Matt, I want to just concur. I believe that. I
believe
really
there's
do.
A stirring in the hearts of genuine men and women who have had enough of the things of God, who have had enough of us being ashamed to put a scripture on ourselves. If someone doesn't want to, that's fine. But you know what? As a believer, what Jesus did for me, I'm going to put it on mine.
Yeah.
It's going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's not coming down. And
hallelujah.
I'll tell you, me and my wife just did a podcast a couple weeks ago. It was on Faith and Freedom, the Real American Dream.
Yeah. Oh, and, I love this, folks.
To talk about, you know, what we were talking about before. You know, Justin, mine and your generation has, it's no surprise to me that the enemy isn't coming after our generation, because we're the first generation from the last that has not had to fight a war to have what we have here in America.
My goodness.
I'll tell you, you know, God declared Israel for him, but the people who founded America declared America for God.
Yeah.
And Solomon did the same, in that God said, you know, what is it that you want? He said, well, I want wisdom to rule my people. And so he ended up being the wealthiest. It's no surprise to me that America became the wealthiest nation, because it started by people rebelling against, they just wanted to have the ability to have freedom to worship freely. So the American dream, Justin, if you ask most people in culture from our generation, what is the American dream? They say, well, it's the house, it's the money, it's the cars.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Lord, one night the Lord, before we did that podcast, the Lord, you know, ministered to me. He said, that's not what the American dream is. If you go back and look at when the founders founded our nation, they founded it on the word of God. They founded it for a place to be able to worship freely.
That is the American dream.
And guess what? We already have it. We already have it. But it's under attack.
Yeah.
It's under attack. So, you know, I believe that we are so blessed, and I believe we don't realize how blessed we are. But if we look back and look back at the things that happened, the miracles that happened that founded this nation, so that I believe it could be the biggest carrier of the gospel up to this date.
Yeah.
That sends out, that's like the center of a spoke of a wheel,
right,
that it goes out everywhere.
Yeah.
I believe that. And the prosperity came from the real American dream, which was faith and freedom.
Man.
Which both are under attack right now.
Matt, that is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. And say again, so we can get the, I don't want to mess it up, but about the generation, we've not had the fight for that
mm-hmm.
freedom.
Yep. Yep. You know, Justin, when you got a huge debt, and our nation has went through so many wars, when you have a huge debt and you personally work to pay it off, boy, there's a freedom and a knowing, I don't need to go back into debt.
Yeah.
But see, our generation was born into already being debt-free as far as freedom is concerned. So we don't realize what we're starting to lose.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
What we're starting to go back into debt in, because we didn't pay the debt off last time.
Yeah.
But I believe the Spirit of Lord would prompt us and go, now look, there's a time that you're going to stand. There's a time that you're going to stand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also with 2020, I think it's been a softening of the heart. So, Justin, I believe this, and the Lord spoke to me about this when we did that Faith and Freedom podcast. But I believe the Lord told me that even people who have moved away from the Lord strongly, you know, our last generation, man, was strong about, before all the technology, was strong about reading the Bible to their kids at night.
Yeah, right.
They were strong about that. And the Word says that if we would raise our kids in the way that they should go, that they would not depart from it.
Yeah.
I believe the Lord spoke to my heart and said, people that have been away from the Lord 60 years, 50 years, God is honoring that promise. And part of the Great Awakening is Him keeping that promise to their parents and grandparents to bring them back in. And it's not just going to be the younger generation, but it's going to be the older generation that heard the Bible read in them when they were little, and that seed was planted, and it's going to be a one of the harvest of the Third Great Awakening.
Wow, 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 wow. That's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just checking inside. Praise the Lord. That's some good stuff, Matt. You know, you are a, you know, you carry a pioneering spirit. You know, you're kind of a tip of the spear in a lot of ways. Hallelujah. So be encouraged, brother, in what you're doing. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I think the Lord is maneuvering you for such a time as this. Listen, friend, if you're just, you know, wondering, I mean, you love the Lord. I mean, it's obvious you are passionately in love with Him, and you're wondering, hey, you know, which direction do I go? We're not saying you're not called to ministry, obviously, but you know what? Just check again, and even check, just put out before the Lord. We're not talking about a fleece. We don't do that, but we do what David did in the spirit of faith. We inquire of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, inquire of the Lord about this consideration for governmental activity and involvement.
Yeah.
I really think that there are people who would have never considered that, but the Lord's touching their heart now.
Mm-hmm.
And for such a time as this, you know, I had written some stuff earlier in the year, and as we were just thinking about 2020, the Lord just prompted me as we were writing this to encourage people that for so many people, 2020 would prove to be a year that they really were awakened to the reason why they were born.
For such a time as
for
this.
For such
this
a time.
This is an Esther year.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so some people may have been wondering, and it doesn't matter, maybe you're 60 years old, but yet God's kept you in reserve for such a time. Your whole life's trajectory has been geared. And the moment of revelation, you know, you've been faithful, you followed the Lord to a place that you did not know where. But for so many, this year is a transitional year, and it's an awakening year that you're discovering the reason why you were born. And I think there's a lot of people. You were just a regular person, but the Lord's calling you to step up, and maybe that's in a political arena.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I want to say this too. This was just my story, but there are people that God is calling into the ministry as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I think it's just, you know, stopping and taking that time and being led by His Spirit, and not just out of our love for Him.
Yeah. Wow, that's good, Matt. Wow, that statement is really profound. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, Matt, as we kind of bring the podcast to a close today, thank you so much for being on the podcast, brother.
This has been
Man. It's been good. Oh, it's been rich.
I'm encouraged.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to it again. I mean, we covered some ground, and it went by so fast. But, hey, how can people get a hold of you? You've got a podcast. You and your wife have spoken to some really neat stuff. How can we follow
absolutely.
You?
You know, right now, Justin, you know, Instagram and Facebook, we've just like to do the short videos, 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
And hallelujah. So there you go.
And, hey, and I was on there just the other day.
Yeah, we were talking about the spirit of faith.
Yeah.
So just check out, look up Fig Studios on Facebook, Instagram. And we just our goal is to have spirit led conversation that God is able, like today, that God is able to pull some great things out of. So
amen. So check them out, Facebook, Instagram. Matt, any closing thoughts? As we bring it to a close, and then if you've got something to say, great. But close us in prayer too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, there is a spirit of lightness. This is not a heavy thing, man. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So don't let anything said today be heavy. As a matter of fact, when you move toward the purposes and plans of God, there you're shedding off things. You're shedding off doubt. You're shedding off worry. You're moving into the very thing you were created to do. So, you know, even if you feel like after a day you say, maybe I'm not in the right place, don't let that be heavy. Let it be light and easy, and just follow His plan and not let your emotions get in the way. But so, Father, I just pray for the people that have heard today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray for a newness of life. That they would enter into rest. Father, I pray for a sensitive heart to hear that, you know, eyes that see and ears that hear your voice for them to lead them as a son and daughter of God. And I just thank you for that, Father. And we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friend, you've been listening to the Grace for This City podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, if we can stand with you and agree with you concerning something in prayer, it would be our honor to do so. Send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Or call us, 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'll get right back with you. That's 870-741-9099. I want to give a big shout out to all of our partners that have helped us keep the podcast going out around the world on all the podcast platforms. If you would like to join us and financially support the podcast, we would love to have you on board. Several ways to do that. Go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/give. You can give right there. Text to give, 84321. Follow the prompts or snail mail it. P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. That's P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Until next time, my friends, be blessed.